Everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 3, Episode 6. I'm Jason Webster, here with our other hosts, Jake Cranston and Jeff Webster.
Mr. Jake.
Mr. Jeff.
How be ya?
Perfecto. How about yourself?
Yeah, very good. Really good.
Good.
Seems like we haven't talked in like a week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm here anyway.
I mean, on the podcast, right?
Yeah.
It's always in the background.
Yes.
It's like offset, actually, is how you can...
Is that what it is? Offset?
Yeah. Offset, yep.
Is that like the eye formation?
Yeah.
Or the offset?
Exactly.
Okay.
No, I mean, it was a cool thing to see the Broncos get stomped on.
Yeah.
Even though it was preseason.
Right. And you got to take it for what it is, obviously, because the Bills did play starters first quarter.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah.
Can we get into that real quick? So I was having some debates with other people about playing the starters. So my personal feeling, you know, my opinion is no bueno for me. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
Maybe in the past I would have been okay, but now that we have a quarterback the caliber we do.
Right.
Now we have this team, the caliber we do. Why risk any sort of even remote close of an injury that something could happen to one of these guys, even if it's for six plays?
Right. And I know Jason kind of looked into that a little bit.
Well, and what I was going to say was, I mean, I think that leads to a greater question. What was the purpose of the preseason? What is the purpose of the preseason now? Is it just to give fans a little something to get them juiced up for, you know, the start of the season? And do you need the starters to do that, right? Like, I mean, do you need at least a little bit of play time? And we actually have personal experience with that. Our boss just went to a game with his son. It's his first game he's ever been to. The son, not him. And, you know, he loved that he got to see Josh Allen play for even a couple plays. So,
right. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It's not fan service, I wouldn't say. But the fact that they saw everything they needed to see in six plays, I mean, that's probably a positive side. But I get the debate, right? Because how many guys go down to non-contact practice injuries? Like, it happens. You know what I mean? It happens. But if you're going to play Josh Allen, six plays should be the maximum, not the minimum.
Right.
Right? Like, I mean, one series and get him out of there. Then he won't play again.
Well, the biggest...
I don't think Von Miller stepped onto the field.
No.
Because he's got age going against him as opposed to Josh Allen being 26 or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, is probably good. But
right.
I'm with you. There's risks involved. Yeah, there's no doubt.
And the biggest debate that I was getting into with other people was they need to see some preseason, the starters, a.k.a. Josh Allen and all these guys, because, well, we lost the home opener to Pittsburgh and we came out flat.
Yeah,
and
Didn't Josh Allen play last year? Didn't he play like a quarter or something? Like, I think
he
played the preseason last year.
I don't think there was
1 year he didn't play. It was like 20. I think last year.
Well, 2020 was COVID. And
right.
my argument was 2020, there was no season at all or preseason at all.
Right.
We came right in and we won four out of our first five games.
Yep.
You don't need a preseason.
And, I agree.
You know, and other people are like, well, no other team in the NFL had a preseason either. And I go, that doesn't matter. You're playing right off the bat.
Right.
Like, everybody's playing. It's an equal field.
Yeah.
So, like, you're trying to tell me that the preseason made our team come
better?
Out flat.
Yeah.
If they would have played more last year in the preseason, we think we wouldn't have came out flat and lost to Pittsburgh.
Right.
To me, you know, NFL teams have bad games, right? Because we didn't play in preseason, did that make us play like shit against Jacksonville?
Right.
I mean, teams play like shit sometimes. It happens.
Yeah, it's one of those correlation does not equal causation, right? Just because we play or don't play probably has zero impact on the first game of the year. I really believe it's
not like we're ever going to win all of our opener games. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's just coming out flat. It doesn't correlate to preseason.
No.
Because we didn't. Josh Allen didn't play 12 snaps in the preseason.
Right, and I can see, like, if we had a new center. But it's Mitch Morse, it's Josh Allen. They played plenty together. There's nothing to deal with there. Sure,
right.
They've got some. It's the first time they had their offensive line, their starting offensive line together.
And yeah,
but that's not an impact on Josh Allen. You can still play those guys with Case Keenum right out of the bat.
That's what I was going to say. It's like, I'm fine with play your offensive line. Play Singletary and Moss a little bit.
Right.
Don't play Diggs. Don't play Gabe Davis. Don't play Knox. You don't need those guys. Don't need to play.
Right.
McDermott made a statement in a press conference, said, look, when we practice in practice, we make sure that we practice like it's a live game.
Oh, as close to game action as they possibly can. Absolutely. And they're going up a great defense, right? Like, it's right up against a top five defense in the NFL.
Correct.
Even without Trey White. And the defense is the exact same way. They're going up against one of the top offenses in the NFL every practice.
And the argument I was getting was, well, you know, it's a lot different in practice. It's not one versus one or seven on seven. They don't play 7-on-7 the entire practice. Right. They actually don't do that anymore. That was training camp.
Yep.
And that was to just kind of get your feet wet and get things ready. These guys are going through offensive calls, defensive calls. They're
11-on-11 with referees.
Everything.
All pads on. Yeah, they're trying to plan.
I mean, these guys put in the work more hours than we work in a week.
Dude, that's where those tussles come from, right? Because they're playing with intensity when they're practicing.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just don't get it.
It's a risky thing. Again, I always, my fallback is always that you kind of got to believe that the coach has a pretty good handle on shit until he does something to really piss you off. And so far, that hasn't happened. The GM, the coach have done a fantastic job keeping people healthy. The team until last year was actually very healthy. So they got away with it. Even if they rolled the dice in this one game, they got Josh Allen off the field very quickly, 3 minutes or whatever.
Yeah,
he scored a touchdown. Six boom, plays they're whatever. Out.
And
yeah.
I'm not calling McDermott an idiot.
No, by no not means. At all.
But I just don't see.
Is it worth the risk?
How it really, really can help?
How many teams don't start their starters at all in the preseason?
You know, I never looked deep into that.
There's got to be at least some.
I heard
there's definitely some, but there's also. Did you bring that up earlier?
Yeah, Bill Belichick, Andy Reid, and Sean McDermott, of course, comes from the family, the Andrew Reid family tree, kind of to speak.
Right.
He played with Andy Reid. So, yeah, there are coaches that think it's important. Most coaches, and especially newer coaches, go, yeah, I don't really see it.
Yeah, you know? Andy Reid is, he's playing freaking Pat Mahomes like a good chunk of time in the
preseason. He had to. He scored 2 touchdowns.
Why? Probably because it hasn't come to bite him yet.
Right.
He's right until he's not.
That's what I was going to say.
And I would hate for it to be the Bills that find that out the hard way.
I mean, the stupid part is, like, a lineman could step on Josh Allen's foot. Like, it could be the dumbest of dumb things.
Well,
it doesn't have to be, you know.
Yeah, and then Tasker made the argument because a guy came on One Bills Live with Tasker and Brownie, and he's on the phone, and he's like, I don't want any part of Josh or any of these starters playing in this preseason game. Right. And Tasker's like, well, you know, you got the – this is the last home game of the preseason. You got fans coming in. They want to see Josh, this and that. So they're kind of – Tasker's kind of talking about your point, Jay, about the fan perspective of it, which I get. You know, it's a business, and, you know, there's different aspects of that. But Tasker said, you know, if he's going to get hurt, it's not just because it's going to happen in preseason. It can happen in the – like, if what's the – basically, Tasker said, what's the difference if Josh got hurt in – one of the preseason games compared to if he got hurt the first game of the year?
Well,
what's the difference?
And
I feel like there's kind of a difference.
Well, the thing is, the science does say that they're just as likely to get hurt in practice as they are in a real game.
Yep.
But to me, it's just hedging your bets, right? Like, if he's not on the field, chances are he's not going to get hurt playing football.
Correct.
Right? Like, I mean, so I'm with you.
Well, it's if you talk about, like, your chances of dying in a car crash, right? There's a certain percentage of that. But the more often you ride in a car, the more likelihood you are to die.
The risks are great.
Like, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Sure. Look at it. I like that point, because look at someone that has to drive around all day for a living, right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, their increase of getting in a car accident compared to someone that it drives, you know, 2 miles down the road to work.
And I'm not saying that playing a few plays here and there is going to hurt anything. Like, what we did is probably fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they should play the whole time. That would just be stupid.
No. Yeah. And again, I just
don't play a lot.
It's just asinine to me that a lot of Bills fans out there, and I'm not saying all you Bills fans are wrong that said that he should play in the preseason, but just thinking about what you're saying is you're correlating Josh not playing much or at all in last preseason to us coming out and playing flat, quote unquote, right, and losing to the Steelers last year. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry.
No, that's cool. And it is a great debate. You know what I mean? I'll bet you there's a ton of Kansas City fans going, why is he still in there? Why is Pat Mahomes still freaking playing football?
That dude should not see a lick of preseason.
Right, right.
You know, and Tom Brady doesn't see a lick of it.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't
Tom Brady
see a lick
goes
of
on
it.
Vacation.
Tom Brady is actually lost right now. Did you hear about that?
No, he's back. He practiced,
he did?
I think, yesterday and today, didn't he?
I don't know.
He took a 10-day vacation.
I didn't see anything.
Was that he had already scheduled a vacation because he had retired.
Right.
And then when he came out of retirement, determined that since he doesn't really play in the preseason anyway, and that's when he was going on vacation, he was going to keep his vacation. That's what I had heard. And I heard he's back at practice now. So
now, what was this about him being lost?
So basically, he told Todd Bowles, his head coach, hey, look, I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks, and I'm not sure when I'm coming back. I'm leaving for something for, you know, personal.
Oh, yeah. He's just taking personal time.
Didn't say what it was. Todd Bowles is like, all right, you know, when are you coming back? I couldn't tell you. He leaves. Nobody knows where this guy went. There's no video, no social media. Like, nobody's caught him anywhere. I mean, it's Tom Brady. Like, if he goes somewhere on vacation, you think someone would catch him on their phone, something. Nobody's seen this guy, heard from him. Nobody knows where he went. So Todd Bowles had a press conference, and they're like, hey, what's up with Tom Brady? Is he coming back? And Todd Bowles is like, you know, we'll see when he, you know, it might be this week, but I can't tell you for sure. Like, that's the conversation. With right.
They're all shitting their pants behind the curtain kind of thing.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just odd that Tom Brady would just leave the team.
Yep.
And then nobody knows when he's coming back.
Right.
Like, he's never, that's never been done by him.
Well, ever. And I mean, I guess when you achieve a certain level of status and a certain level of not giving a fuck anymore, you pretty much do whatever you want, right?
I would say that's way up there on the list, is just not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, also, real quick, just to bring this up, And I felt like this could have been maybe skewed, but I don't know. I didn't look deeper into it, but we should. So do you know that whole thing that happened with Brett Favre when he was sending that one girl? I can't remember if she was a reporter or someone.
I think it was
within,
a reporter.
Within Green Bay or something.
Yeah.
When he was supposedly sending her
dick pics.
Dick pics.
Yeah.
So I saw on social media, and it was a quote by him, or it was a written quote. And it said by Brett Favre, and it didn't seem like it could have been real, but I might have. Basically, he said, I sent my dick pics to everybody. He goes, I thought people wanted to see my dick. He's like, I sent him to, you know, her, and I sent him to, I think he at one point even said, I sent it to the mailman and shit. Like, if I could go back and find this quote just to see it. So I read this and I'm like, did he really say that?
It seems like something that'd be.
Yeah, that's
weird suicide to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he has nothing to do with football or nothing. Right. He's just retired and that's that. But basically in the quote, he's like, I thought everybody wanted to see my dick pic. I would send my dick pics to everybody because I felt like they wanted to see my dick. Yeah, so it's just a weird thing, that whole Brett Favre.
That's messed up, dude.
And I got to look into the quote, if I can find it somewhere else, because it was, I don't know, it was Twitter or Facebook or whatever.
Yeah, that's somebody thinks an awful lot of themselves. Holy shit.
But it was just like...
Or a prank by like a fake account or something, but yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was 100% true, but it stemmed a conversation between me and my wife for a good 10, 15 minutes. And it just, the reason the conversation came up is I told her about the quote, and then... It correlated over to Deshaun Watson.
Right.
And basically the conversation went, these athletes, a.k.a. high-profile, very rich athletes,
yep,
at some point where it hits them, where they think they're invincible.
And they're just better than everybody.
And they can do whatever the fuck they think they want to do. And it's just...
Yeah, rules don't apply.
It's just messed...
Dude, I'm Brett Favre. Rules don't apply to me. Crazy?
I'm Brett Favre. Everybody wants to see my dick.
Yeah.
Like, really?
I don't
get it.
I'm good.
Yeah, it's just weird to me. So
that's messed up.
I just wanted to throw that out there real quick. I thought that was just a a weird quote to see from a guy like that. I didn't think he would even come out and say that, you know, like admit that.
But right.
I don't know.
That is one of those things that you find. You want to think that, but you really don't got to share it with anybody. Like, I don't think people would even care if they did want to see your dick.
Yeah, just some oddness for sure. Yeah,
definitely weird.
So, well, I mean, besides that, we got other stuff we're going to get into. We're going to talk today more about, because we got the final roster coming up August 30th.
Next week, dude. A week from today.
August 30th is the last day.
Yeah, so. We're taping on a Tuesday. So, yep. 4 o'clock next Tuesday, the 30th.
Yep.
That's it. Roster's got to be 53.
So, we wanted to just kind of get our take. We're going to get Jeff's take. We're going to get my take on who we don't have to go through the entire roster because there's some self-explanatory, but there's some positions like wide receiver, for instance.
Yep.
You know,
cornerback.
Why don't we start there, Jeff? Let's start at wide receiver real quick and talk about who we think is going to make this team and who's on the bubble.
Before we get to the wide receiver, first, though, I want to say good for Case Keenum that he came out with the ones, because the coach actually said that he deserves to have a chance to play with the ones.
Right.
So Case came out playing with the ones. He looked like a professional NFL quarterback. He, whatever Rusty shook off or whatever, he looked really, really good.
Yeah,
all the quarterbacks looked good.
Well, 16 of 18. That's
solid.
That's a lot better than three turnovers last week.
Yeah. So good for him. But then we go to wide receivers. Of course, we have what we believe to be the top three receivers in Diggs, Davis, and McKenzie.
Right.
I believe we would agree on those three.
Yes.
After that, obviously strong case for Jamison Crowder. Then it gets a little bit weird because we, I believe, agree that we would like to see both Khalil Shakir and Hodgins make this roster.
Yeah, I don't think there's any debate that Khalil Shakir is going to make this roster.
And I've heard they're both playing special teams now, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Khalil Shakir and Hodgins.
I heard Hodgins, but Shakir is now too?
Yep.
Okay. So for me, on the bubble is Crowder, meaning for me because he just hasn't – I mean, he was hurt the first almost 2 weeks of camp.
Yep.
And then not only that, but I just – me personally never thought Khalil Shakir would be as far ahead as he is, and I'm sure
– It is pretty amazing.
Coaching staff didn't think that. Other fans didn't think that. So, Jamison Crowder for me, he's definitely – going to be on the bubble just because of where Shakir is. And I mean, it's tough because where do you put Kumerow too? I mean, he's a guy that the way Hodgins has been playing this year, he's been really good on the edges. You know, he had how many catches did he have during the Colts game? Was it like eight or nine?
For the Colts game, he was 5 for 5.
Okay.
But yeah, it was.
Oh, no, that was Shakir. Wasn't it?
Yeah. You're right. Hodgins was like 7 of 9.
Yeah, something like
passes,
that.
Passes, 90-some yards, I think. He had a really good day. Really good
But
day.
He's been showing. I mean, even last year, he was showing the ability he had. This year, it's coming to fruition even more. So it's with Kumerow, he is who he is. He's a solid special team guy.
Yep.
But on offense, he really doesn't bring you anything special. So
well, like we talked about, there's no ceiling, right?
Right.
We pretty much know who he is, where he is, and where he's going.
Yep.
So he's pretty much probably maxed out where he's going to position himself on this team. It seems that way, anyway.
For sure. Yeah. Wide receiver. I mean, we're both pretty.
Yeah, we're really close on that.
Pretty close on it.
I'm pretty solid on Crowder. I think he's going to make the team.
Yeah.
Marquez Stevenson. I think
he's
he
a
might
guy
be a
too.
Duplicate at this point.
Yeah.
And then Kumerow, it all depends on just how far Hodgins gets in the special teams play, because he may eliminate the necessity to have Jake Kumerow on the roster if he can basically take his position. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, so for me, it's McKenzie, Diggs, Khalil Shakir. It's going to be – I still kind of want to say Crowder in a way, but right now I'm gonna throw him on the bubble, and I'm throwing Hodgins and obviously Gabe Davis are gonna be my six right now. So
right, yep. And like I say, mine's real close to that too, except for I got Crowder as a lock and Kumerow on the bubble.
So. Yeah. Let's swing over to running back because that's another position that people are kind of
there's a little bit of a debate there.
who's going to be on the bubble, who's going to make it. So, I mean, obviously, I think Singletary and Moss are two locks on this roster.
They're, I think so.
That's not going to be a debate.
Singletary for sure. I'm pretty sure Duke, or Zach Moss has proven himself this season, this offseason. It looks like he's really put a lot of effort into being a better football player, and it's showing up. So,
well, he was.
Yeah, I agree.
Plus, he was hurt last year. He had that. He had that foot issue. This year, he's
healthy.
Even, he even said he came in and he's 100% healthy, no issues. So that's good to see. So we got those two guys. James Cook obviously
definitely is
going to be
the roster.
Is going to be on this roster, and we think he's going to at some point make a impact on this team. So now it comes down to, does Duke Johnson, is he making this roster, or is he out of it? Because last year we ran with four running backs, but one of them was Tywan Jones.
Right.
So our main three were Singletary, Moss, and Matt Breida.
Yeah, and it's tough to read too, because this coaching staff has kind of fluctuated back and forth between players that are positional and special teams against specialty players.
Yeah.
Andre Roberts was a great example. He wasn't the kind of guy that was going to really make a huge impact in the wide receiver room.
Yeah.
But he was a specialty guy, and that's kind of what you have with some of these guys too. You know, like I think Blackshear has been playing some special teams, but I don't know how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Duke Johnson does, and we know Tywan Jones does because that's why they have him.
Right.
He's an awesome special teams player. So I think Singletary, like we talked about, Singletary, Moss, and Cook are locks.
Yep.
And there's going to be at least a fourth guy. I'm really torn here because I almost think Blackshear gives you more than either Tywan Jones or Duke Johnson. I really do. I mean, they talk about the juice he brings into the game when he comes, and the kid can move.
Yep.
And he's smart.
He could be that guy. The only thing is McDermott has been a Tywan Jones guy since day one.
That's why it's so hard.
So it's kind of like, does he move Tywan Jones out for a younger talent that hasn't proved himself in the league yet? So that's the question.
Yeah,
because
you don't want to leave yourself thin on special teams either. It is a third of the game.
Well, McDermott's a big special team guy. We all know that.
Yeah, Marv Levy was, you know?
Right.
It makes sense. Yeah. But, yeah, so that's a...
There's the
that's that
the question
debate.
Mark. Yep. Yep. There's a question mark. Let's swing over to defensive line. We'll kind of go from there because there's so much talent on defensive line.
There's a ton
that it can get a little convoluted.
It's weird
but
to look at. It's weird to look at and think about this defensive line. Like it may be the best defensive line I've seen since the Super Bowl era. It really is. I mean, even with Mario Williams,
right?
You know what I mean? The depth on it is insane. We talked about that a little off audio earlier about the fact that it's a really deep defensive line now.
Very deep. I mean, well, I brought up earlier before the podcast, I mean, you got Greg Rousseau, first-round pick. He's going to be on the team.
Yep, he's starting.
Boogie Basham, we drafted him last year, second-round pick. Ed Oliver, first-round pick, top 10. Jordan Phillips, he was a guy that played very well in the system. We brought him back.
Right.
Then, you know, Daquan Jones, a free agent that's played well.
Solid player.
Brought him in. Tim Settle, another guy that kind of got lost in the shuffle in Washington because of
playing behind
first round talents.
First round picks. Yeah.
Yep. And he's shown in preseason that he could be a beast.
Yep.
Then we go out and get Von Miller, which obviously is going to be on this roster. I mean, he's going to be a huge special
talent.
Yep. AJ Epenesa, again, another draft pick we drafted in the second round.
Yep.
I don't see why he shouldn't make this team either.
Right.
The only way that possibly he doesn't is just because of he gets drowned out with all this talent. I don't know. I just don't know what they think of him at this point. I feel like there's been good talk about him.
Yep.
And Shaq Lawson, another guy.
First
round pick by the Bills. Not this regime, but they brought him back for a reason.
Yeah.
And
I don't think they really wanted to see either Jordan Phillips or Shaq Lawson leave the team. It's just that they didn't have the cap space to carry the weight of their contracts that other teams were willing to give them.
Yeah.
So, like Brandon Bean always says, you know, that we certainly don't want to stop anybody from improving their financial situation.
Right.
If we can't, we're not going to try to talk them down into a lot less money just because we're the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
They have an opportunity, and if they take it, then good for them. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, and now it's come back around, and it's probably paying off because they left on such good terms.
Right.
They're willing to come back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great to see.
Yeah.
You know, and sorry to guys like Mike Love, Brandon Bryant. I mean, these guys.
They're good guys. Eli Ankou.
Yeah.
They're good, that Kingsley, they're good players.
Kingsley
man.
Jonathan.
Kingsley Jonathan.
You know, these guys are showing that they can play in this league. It's just there's right. just way too much talent in front of you to make this roster.
Dude, the Bills practice squad is going to be a cherry tree, man. And they'll be plucking cherries off it.
It's gonna
left
be
and right.
It's going to be a lot of guys.
It's going to suck.
A lot. So yeah. So I think we agree with that defensive line. I yep. mean, it's pretty much.
Yeah, and you've got 8 or 9 guys that can rotate in and out and stay fresh for an entire 60 minutes.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
100%. Let's go to cornerback real quick. I think corner.
That's another area. Yeah,
has an area of debatability. You know. So I mean,
now you're just making shit up.
Yeah. Trey White though is going to be the question mark going into the season.
Right.
Is he going to be ready? Are we putting him on PUP? And can you explain the PUP again, Jeff? How that's going to work?
Oh, so like currently he's on PUP.
Right.
Ike Boettger is an example of what happens when you take a player and move him to reserve PUP. That means they're unable to play for the first 4 regular season games.
Yeah.
After that, you can activate them, and then you got 21 days to, I think, put them on the 53-man roster. If you don't, within those 21 days, they get moved to IR, and they're out for the season.
Right.
So Brandon Bean explained that what they're doing, and they're down to 80 players, which is all they had to be down to by 4 o'clock today. And the reason that they didn't do anything with Trey White is because it's so close, it's so hard to tell exactly when he's going to be ready to play football, that they wanted another week to evaluate him. So they've got till 4 o'clock on the 30th, next Tuesday, to make a call on Trey White, too. So if they move him to reserve PUP, he's out for the first 4 games, at which point they can then activate him, but they're going to have to clear space for him on the 53. So if they think he might be ready to play in the second or third week, they might just keep him on a 53-man roster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah, it's a tough call.
That's where it's at.
We just don't know how right. I mean, they're being pretty vague, which, I mean, it's obvious.
It sounds like it's almost by necessity.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't know. They don't want to lose him for 2 extra mm-hmm. weeks if he might be able to play in week 2.
Yeah.
So all depends on, I'm sure, training staff. Doctors are evaluating where he's at, making yep. projections on when he may be able to start. And that now they have an extra week to make that final decision.
No, I
so if they're going to miss 4 weeks, they're going to put him on reserve PUP. He'll be right. back right after that, I'm sure. Yeah.
And his PUP doesn't count against the
against
53.
The cap. Right. That's one of the advantages of that.
Right.
Well, so Boettger, I have him as one of the, starting guards in their final 53.
Yeah.
When technically he won't be counting against the cap.
Right. Right.
So,
yeah. So, real quick, I think it's time, Jay, huh? To go to the next quick segment with.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a new thing here. Jeff is going to be giving us a little unknown statistic or lesser known statistic, and we're calling it Jeff's Deep Dive. So yeah, take it away, Jeff. What do you got?
All right. So we're going to travel back in time, back to 1991, Super Bowl 25. It's the Giants and the Bills. And today's fact is the fact that the Buffalo Bills and New York Giants set a Super Bowl record that has yet to be matched. I give people a couple of seconds to think about that and see if they can pull it out. But, okay, maybe you know what it is, maybe you don't. But basically, the Bills lost that Super Bowl by a single point. It is the closest Super Bowl game since Super Bowl started. So nobody has gotten close. The next closest game is 3 points. So, yeah.
Do you remember the score, Jeff?
20-19.
Yep.
And I also remember how they ended up with 19 and not 22. So
How was that?
I don't want to go there. I'm not saying it. You want to. I hear it enough that I don't really feel like saying
it. Right, I know. Now, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, we should. We don't need to talk about
that. I think people that follow the Bills probably have a pretty good idea what happened their very first Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it probably changed their destiny in a major way. I mean, who knows if they had actually won that first Super Bowl, what might have happened?
Right.
Maybe they would have picked up another one or two in the next few years. So.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's still a Super Bowl record, and good for them that they played in the game that's the tightest in Super Bowl history.
Yep. And there's your Jeff's deep dive.
Yes.
Of the week. Thank you, Jeff.
You're very welcome.
All right. Moving back to the roster real quick.
Moving that along.
So cornerback, I think we're pretty tight on with everybody else. I mean, the only like kind of question mark we had was, Trey White was like the only real like, all right, how is he going to be on this roster? Blah, blah, blah. But everybody else, the Christian Benford, I think he would have been a guy at the beginning of camp that most of us would have been like, man, he's a
practice
six
squad
round
guy. Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
But I think he's got a pretty good shot at making this roster the way he's been playing.
There's an awful lot of talk about him. The guys that are standing out. We didn't talk about him at all, but, Terrell Bernard has been playing really well.
Yes.
Bill Inspector, another guy who's been showing up.
Bill Inspector.
And again, it talks to not only the guys that these guys draft, but if you look at, Raheem Blackshear, undrafted free agent. I don't think anybody really anticipated him challenging much for a position in a starting lineup.
Yeah.
But I think he's got a shot. Like, I really do. I mean, he probably won't. He'll probably be on the practice squad. But he's really, these guys are showing up so far in the preseason.
Yeah. Well, once again, kudos to our GM and
scouts,
Brandon Bean, to be able to bring these talents in, man. Yeah. Guys that you just don't think are going to really come into this roster and pan out could really do it.
Yeah, yeah. I think he might be a steal.
Yeah.
He really is showing up.
Yep. Tight end, if you move over to tight end real quick, Dawson Knox is going to be there. OJ Howard, there's some rumor on him possibly being a trade bait right now, being showcased as trade bait. So
Quinton Morris has always been pretty solid.
Yeah.
He's a good blocker. So, yeah, if they decide Tommy Sweeney is, and he's an awesome blocker too,
you could keep one of those guys. Yep. Tommy Sweeney could be cheaper than OJ Howard and get the same production, because OJ Howard hasn't really shown anything in preseason so far.
It's amazing that a guy like a first round draft pick with that kind of athleticism just hasn't been able to put it together.
He's showing some things, but it hasn't been like, wow, okay, OJ Howard,
Right. To me, it'd be like Isaiah Hodgins being drafted in the first round.
Right.
You would think he wouldn't be 3 or 4 years to actually even earn a spot on a roster.
Yeah.
I think that's a very big possibility. I really
do. For sure. Yeah. Offensive line, you got your left tackle is Dawkins, your left guard is Saffold, your center is Morse. Bates, your right guard, and then right tackle is going to be Questenberry. Obviously, we're just talking about Bakker. Greg Mance got hurt today, I heard.
So they carted him off the field.
So him being the backup center, I hope.
No word
hopefully
on
he's
going to
be good. Yeah, I don't know. Spencer Brown is still listed on the depth chart behind Questenberry, but again, I think there's still the factor of his back surgery he had in the offseason.
That, and I think they probably hadn't anticipated him starting as much as he did last year.
Right.
It was almost like he was thrust in that position because they had to.
Yeah.
Moving Darrell Williams inside, and they didn't have a choice. They had to put him in there. So this affords them a chance to work with him some more.
Yes.
Yeah. Questenberry he's a good dude. He's a good ball player. He's
seen a lot of games in this league. So,
yeah.
But I mean, you got, your depth guys and Tommy Doyle. You got a guy like Luke Tenuta, who I think he's been playing solid. He's a guy that could make this roster possibly.
Yeah.
You got a guy like Alec Anderson, the undrafted rookie free agent out of UCLA.
Yep.
Has shown, he's a big kid.
Some stuff. Yeah.
He's shown some stuff. So it's tough to say as far as depth, but we know what our core is, and there's going to be some guys that obviously can make this roster that have shown some promise. So
and I think the best chance for and I think it's more Tenuta than Anderson, mm-hmm. is the fact that Botker is probably going to be out the first four games.
Yeah.
That frees up a roster spot. So if they want to use it on the offensive line, it's available.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that pretty much covers, like, you know, most of the roster that really matters to most of the
fan
base. Yeah,
well, I
want to
get your guys' opinion. There's another debate. They released Matt Hawk. The punt competition is over, and they went with a rookie, the punt god.
Yes.
I mean, what do you think, Chase?
Well, I mean, I've talked about how excited I am about him as a player to you guys personally. I don't know if I've mentioned it here on the podcast, but I think that there is a meta strategy that could be made around knowing that you have a guy who can do what other people can't and being able to evolve around that. You now have a keystone player. So
that's true.
It's very exciting. It's different. And it's something that people can't really prepare for as well as they can the average punter.
Right.
So I think that's invaluable. I don't know if it's too early. That's the only concern that I have.
Yep.
I like the potential of what he can bring. You know, the ceiling for this kid is much higher than Matt Hawk.
For sure.
The biggest thing that Hawk had over Areza starting in camp, I mean, was hang time. But, you know, that's something that can obviously be coached and fixed or you know, implemented more into the way he punts. But like Jason said, it's like, you how can you pass up a guy that brings I mean, the fan base was excited.
Right.
Like,
right.
Extremely excited
and
for
a punter
to come in.
I think that made a big part of it. Like, I think that was a big part of that decision.
Well, I think as a coach, I think I would be looking at the fact that, let's just say you do have a series, you come out flat, and maybe there's a sack or a couple penalties, and you're standing at your own 10 or 15-yard line, and you're thinking about the fact that this team you're punting to is going to be starting in excellent field position. Not necessarily with Areza.
Yeah.
The Areza, they could be starting at their own 15. I mean,
yeah,
the guy can kick it 75 yards in the air.
Well, we know how big special teams is to McDermott.
Flipping the field.
And a guy like that can bring, you know, that type of, you know, punting style to the team where he can pin you from deep in our own end and pin the other team is huge.
The crazy part is it's also, what do you do? You put him on the practice squad, he's never going to make it.
Yeah. I
mean, he's going to be plucked off the practice squad in day two.
You don't go and draft a guy like that for him not to make this team. I think that was kind of writing on the wall.
Yeah,
there.
It was his position to lose. Yeah. I think right from the get-go, there was never a question. Matt Hawk did have a couple of slip-ups last year.
In important games that he definitely should not have.
So, you know, and that's not to say he's not a fantastic player. In fact, I'll be surprised if he doesn't have a job by the weekend. You know, he's good. He's really a good punter.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
I just think, I like you said, the ceiling for Areza is just huge. It's just monstrous.
And
it's crazy.
It's fun to be excited about a punter like that. No offense.
For sure.
It's a Hawk.
I think. Yeah. I think it was one of the Good Morning Football team. That said that Matt Areza was the best rookie drafted this year. And I think it's just for his position. Yeah, it's the type of punter
if you think of it like a sliding scale by position, then yeah, he had more value than anyone.
Yeah, he won the Ray Guy Award, which Ray Guy was one of the best punters ever in the NFL.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, that's good for him. You know what I mean? That's good to see.
Well,
I'm excited too.
It's good to establish that, you know, now we got our punter.
Yep.
And then we obviously got Tyler Bass, and he's been a great kicker. So it's good to just have those two positions, you know, wrapped up, and you know, we can just keep wrapping up other positions, and
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's looking good. So what do we got this week? Saturday against in Carolina,
Friday,
right?
Friday or Saturday? Yeah, it's this weekend.
Yeah.
For sure. Yes, in Carolina.
And Carolina already announced their starting quarterback in Baker Mayfield, so
that
didn't take long. Shows how much they really think about
Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Jeez.
Dude, I always struggled with his name. I do it too.
I feel bad for the kid a little bit, but hey, I mean, if you don't got it, you don't got it.
Right.
Yep.
So we'll see how they finish out in the preseason, and we are 17 days away from kickoff, right?
Dude, yes.
It's getting very close.
Yeah.
Man.
It's even 16, right? Is it 2 weeks from Thursday, 2 days from now? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's coming so fast.
It is. It's getting close.
Yep.
Anything else, fellas, for the day?
I think that's pretty much it. Pretty
good. I think we're covered till another week. Next week, the roster will have the final 53 by the time we air this or tape it.
Yep.
We'll have our final 53. We'll be able to talk about maybe we'll do our offensive and defensive players for this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Breakout players.
We'll get into that for sure.
Yeah.
I like that. Cool. Tell them how to listen to the pod, Jay.
You can find us on social media at ETD Buffalo, and that's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you're looking for our podcast, you can find us on Anchor. That's where we host it, or pretty much anywhere. Look for us on Spotify, Apple, anywhere. And also, we will be posting our first episode of Sauce Quest, which is going to be a mini podcast brought to you by ETD. And that will be a search through Dilly Dally's here in Springville to look through all of their catalog as much as we can cover and figure out what is the ultimate hot sauce and can we make one.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
I can't wait.
It's a good start so far.
We had fun.
Sponsored by Imodium.
Yeah.
You should unofficial sponsor.
Reach out to them.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right, man.
All right. Just want to end it with where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills.
Go Bills.
We are very excited to tell you about our new partnership with a great company right here in Springville, New York, Dilly Dally's Spices and Sauces. Owner-operator Dylan Wheeler started Dilly Dally's to find the most epic spice blends this world has to offer. And from that quest, he has collected a massive variety of gourmet and specialty products. We're talking 274 hot sauces, 147 barbecue sauces, and 125 barbecue rubs. They have spices, seasonings, drink mixes, even locally made cheeses from Cuba Cheese Shop and Yancey's Fancy. It doesn't matter whether you're a spice fiend looking for a new flavor for your hot wings or you just want to try a new Bloody Mary mix, you'll find it at Dilly Dally's. Trust us, you won't find a better variety anywhere else in Western New York. You can find Dilly Dally's at 53 East Main Street in Springville. Just look for the logo of the cool hot pepper with sunglasses on it. Tell Dylan that Ending the Drought podcast sent you and he will give you 10% off your order. He also has online ordering that ships products all over the state. His website is dillyspices.com. That's DILLY spices.com.